Bueller. As you're getting settled, I'm sure you're aware that the appellant will have 15 minutes for the argument in chief, the respondent will have 15 minutes, and the appellant will have 5 minutes for rebuttal. Whenever you're ready, just approach the microphone. You can adjust the microphone and the podium to your level, and please begin by telling us who you are in a loud, clear voice, please.
Thank you, Your Honors, and may it please the court, my name is Christopher Bueller. I represent the appellant in this matter, Mr. Mike Anderson. This appeal concerns a dispute between neighboring landowners and those that they allow to use their land with regard to an easement on the appellant's property. Specifically, we are arguing today about the location of that easement. In 2017, after a bench trial was held in this matter, the district court entered a judgment establishing that easement and saying where it was located. In doing so, it described the easement using a legal description, and that legal description placed the easement on what was defined in the order in the judgment as the subject property. That subject property is located on a section line, runs north and south, and is about a mile long, and divides two sections of property. After that judgment was entered, the respondents took the position that the easement was not actually located on the section line. Instead, it was located on land that used to be a township road. That township road was vacated in 1984, and it runs directly by appellant's home. I believe it's uncontested at this point that the section line does not coincide with that township road. The township road is to the east of the section line and meanders north-northeast as it progresses. Since 1984, the township road has not been used, and so the appellant disputed the respondent's position that they had an easement on that land. The dispute kind of came to a head last summer. The respondents filed a motion to have appellant found in contempt of court for obstructing the land that used to be the township road. The appellant responded with another motion of his own seeking to amend the 2017 judgment and place the easement to the west of the section line and eventually join up with the section line. In October of last year, the district court entered an order on those motions, and that's the order that's appealed from today. The order stated...
I'm just looking at the judge's, the ultimate order for judgment. It looks like in January 20 of 2017, defendant Bueller possesses, this is conclusion of law 18, an easement no greater than 16 feet wide over the subject property for purposes of ingress and egress over the Anderson property pursuant to the town board's action on August 12th. So I'm assuming as a matter of law, that is the affirmative grant of the easement, and the order for judgment, no greater, so it repeats that same language. I was curious where you were referring to the line in particular.
Yes, Your Honor. So the grant in paragraph 18 is on the subject property. On page 3 of that judgment, paragraph 5, the term the subject property is defined. It's defined as the line commencing from a point at the northwest quarter of the southwest quarter of section 13 and the northeast corner of the southeast quarter of section 14, then south 1 mile to its termination point at the southwest corner of the northwest quarter of section 24 and the southeast corner of the northeast quarter of section 23, here and after the section line.
And I see in finding of fact 3, the court references also known as the Moreland Road, And I understand, from what I see in the record, the court was asking the parties over and over to do get a description of the specific road. Is it safe to say that, as a matter of fact, by that, the court understood, that the parties understood, that that road, which apparently, once we found, the court found out later, meanders, was indeed the same Moreland Road is the only road by which an easement, if one exists, exists. So there was no dispute of that, but there was no legal description specifically until the subsequent order.
Well, I think it's important to have a little context on what is called the Moreland Road really is. It's a cartway that goes over the appellant's property. It hasn't been surveyed. There's no legal description of that road. There, as far as we know, there never has been a legal description of it. When the road was vacated in 1984, there couldn't be any kind of reference found to it. I think that section line is mentioned in the papers that were produced when the road was vacated, but it's not a freeway. It's not any type of real recognized road. It's been basically dormant since 1984. And you're correct, there hasn't been a legal description, but I think that raises a really important point, and maybe what is our primary argument, is that legal descriptions matter.
Then why didn't you get one?
Because we were arguing that they shouldn't have an easement on the road.
But I mean, in order to, and I understand that, but it seems to me, you know, the absence of the survey is problematic. And since the court didn't have the survey, you know, the court sort of did the best it could under the circumstances. So it seems to me any ambiguities, I mean, why would we fault the district court for trying to make things clear when the parties themselves didn't get a survey? I mean, why would we hold that against the district court?
Well, I think, Your Honor, that in order for I think there are a couple of steps that could have been taken during the proceeding below in order to get that survey. If respondents wanted to have that easement located on the land where that road was, I think they could have tried to obtain a court order for that, or if the court thought it was important, it could have ordered that there be a survey conducted, but that just didn't happen. Instead, we have this legal description. I believe a certified copy of the judgment has been recorded, and as of right now, I think ownership of the property was to change hands at this point, there'd really be no notice of where this easement actually is.
There'd be actual notice, wouldn't there? I mean, there's a road there, so people would have actual notice of where the road is.
I think that's true. You know, at this point, I'm not sure if they would, Your Honor, respectfully, because I think the characteristics of this road are, like I said, it's not a freeway, it's not paved.
Well, let's say that a party would be on notice that they should inquire under the circumstances.
I think that would be accurate. But I still think there's a big cloud on the title of what is actually what the party's rights are here, and that's why I think we need some more clarification than what the district court did and just say that they're referring to the Moreland Road when the term the Moreland Road wasn't even really, you know.
So you're suggesting we remand to the district court to have the parties survey the property?
Well, I think that we need to remand to the district court in order to, you know, we would still be presenting our argument that it's most appropriate that the judgment be amended to move the easement to the west of the section line. And the reason for that is the land that was that road runs directly by the appellant's house. So that's a big consideration for us and a point of fairness, and I don't think a lot of people move out to
the Moreland Road, or now what are we talking about?
That's part of the problem here, I think, Your Honor. It's hard to figure out what we're actually talking about because the term Moreland Road.
I understand, Mr. Barlow, your argument, but I mean, at the end of the day, was everyone sort of arguing that, you know, I don't want him on the Moreland Road and the other side wanted to be on the Moreland Road because that's how you're going to get to the property? I mean, would that be a fair statement?
Yes.
Okay.
And I think...
So God forbid we should apply common sense in reaching these decisions, right? We should... I don't know. Okay. So is your argument that because it's not clear that everybody was talking about the Moreland Road, this needs to be remanded so that once and for all, okay, the easement is the Moreland Road, that's what you get to go on, you don't get to go on anything else, and, you know, and then, you know, everybody sort of just deal with it.
I think, Your Honor, under the terms of the judgment, I wouldn't concede that the easement is on the Moreland Road.
All right. And you don't want one at all, right?
Well, I think we acknowledge that there is going to be an easement over Mr. Anderson's property.
But not on the Moreland Road?
Correct. Because talking about getting down to just common sense, the reason for that is the Moreland Road is currently what my client, what appellant wants to use as his driveway. He parks cars there, he put a cement pad in. A long time ago, he got a permit to put a garage up on it. That's a piece of property that he wants to actively use out of a larger piece of property that he owns. There's plenty of other places.
Hasn't that ship sailed because that's what the district court found, is that that's where the easement's supposed to go?
I would say no, Your Honor. I think legal descriptions matter. And in this case, the subject property is defined using a legal description.
But it seems like the district court recognized that it was an error in making that description, and that it really was referring to something else, which is what you're talking about is the Moreland Road.
Right, but I think under the cases that we cite, mainly Alvin v. Johnson, it's a 1955 Minnesota Supreme Court case, the standard for a court to clarify attributes of an easement is only where the original description is too vague or ambiguous such that a clarification is appropriate. Again, I think there's nothing clearer than a legal description. I think that's why they're on deeds, mortgages, anything that's recorded on property, that's why we use legal descriptions.
Well, wouldn't you, it seems like there's a contradiction because the Moreland Road is not the same as the description used in number 5 on page 3.
Correct, but that's what the description of the subject property is in the judgment. It's this section line.
Mr. Bowler, on that point, and that's in a finding of fact, but they're also, and that's why I went back to the beginning, it would be safe to say that it looks like the township, before it abandoned the road, had never done a survey, there's a specific finding that road was used to gain the road, which now is the cartway, and then the easement we're talking about, was used to access Moreland's Pond for hunting and fishing, hence the name Moreland's Road. What I want to get at, and I think you did answer this, no one was in doubt where this cartway was, which is the easement in dispute, which was the same road that the township abandoned in 1984, and it's the same road easement that the judge was aware of, I assume got some pictures, had this description. So nobody was doubting that the easement we're talking about, and I don't want, your client didn't want, was the Moreland Road.
Well, I think the township knew where the road was when it vacated it. Sure. I think that's...
And your client knew, he has property right there, and he knows that same road. He's hoping it's not used now. They abandoned it because I want to put my... But the point being, for the easement purposes, and what the court made findings on, there was no doubt of where this easement ran, because if you did a site visit, she would have walked, being the judge, would have walked literally on the Moreland Road, and everybody, yep, this is the easement we're talking about.
Well, I think a lot of that's true, but I think there's a couple distinctions that we have to keep in mind. The first is my client is the one that petitioned to have the road, the township road, vacated in the first place. But since that time, it's undergone, there's been changes to it. There's been a cement pad. There's been other improvements, other alterations that my client did when it was on his property. I don't think we're talking about exactly the same property specifications that we were back in 1984.
And that's why, if I saw the court delayed issuing an order, really wanted the parties, and she recognized that,
right,
so that everybody would be satisfied. But that...
Right.
When Judge Smith's referring to the ship sailing, that did sail unsuccessfully, right?
Well, and I don't... So the other...
Yeah, it worked out just brilliantly.
Sorry?
I said it worked out brilliantly.
The other thing that we have to keep in mind is, after the trial was held in this matter and before the judgment was entered, the judge issued a letter, it's in the record, saying that I am going to find that respondents, Buellers, have an easement over Mr. Anderson's property. However, the record is silent as to the location of that easement. I think that right there implies that we're not talking about the Moreland Road as being the location where the easement has always been. If the record was silent as to location, she could have said the Moreland Road, the Township Road, something about this road, but that's not what she did. The judge said that the record is silent as to where the easement is located. So I think that's fairly strong evidence that at the time of the trial was over, before the judgment was entered, there was not a specific location that this easement was going to be on. I see my time's almost up. I do want to comment on the contempt finding. In line with our previous argument, we're saying that the contempt finding was erroneous because the easement is in a different place than the site that was obstructed. I do also want to make sure I make a point, though, of saying throughout the dispute, when there were obstructions on that road, my client did provide alternate access to the property. He never actually blocked access to the property. I think that should be taken into account in considering the contempt finding. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Buehler. And you will have 5 minutes of rebuttal.
Thank you.
You're welcome. We'll now hear for counsel for the respondent, please.
Thank you. My name is Timothy Westner. I represent respondents Buehler, Giesler, and Rhodes. May it please the court. I frankly had a lot of the same questions that the court did in terms of ultimately what the question is before the court. And this is ultimately a contempt proceeding. It was a contempt motion. We had a contempt hearing, and somehow it morphed into let's try to change the location of this easement. I agree. I think that ship sailed. I think you've got an order from January of 2017, which references a vacated road, the Moreland Road, it talks about this road several times. Those findings were made. As you noted, the court issued conclusions of law specifically saying Mr. Buehler does have ingress and egress. He has a right to access his property, and it's going to be along sort of that vacated road. I would also note that there was a reference made to that September 2016 letter. On addendum 12 of the appellant's brief, the judge again references several times the appellant road, as she specifically says, the defendants Giesler and Rhodes had a reasonable belief that they had a legal right to access the Buehler property through the Moreland Road. So at least from my review of the record and the findings, and it seems as though the court viewed it the same way I did, it's always been the Moreland Road. That's always been the access point. And without subsequent surveys or information provided by the parties, that's the access point we're going to use. But ultimately, I really think that the issue before the court today is, did Mr. Anderson willfully disobey the January 2017 order by blocking the respondent's ability to access their landlocked property? The court had a contested hearing on that issue in September, and ultimately after hearing testimony, reviewing motion documents, reviewing pictures, found that Mr. Anderson in fact did disobey the order and that it was a willful disobedience.
Which order?
The January of 2017 order. I mean, the January order gives Mr. Buehler and Mr. Rhodes and Mr. Giesler access.
The order that made clear we're talking about the Moreland Road.
Well, see, that's the contempt order. I mean, that's kind of the issue we have here is, to me, the October 10, 2018 order, really, it changed it from the Moreland Road to the Moreland easement. We named it something different, but ultimately it's the same thing. I mean, because we've called it the subject property, we've called it the vacated road, we've called it the Moreland Road. I think the judge says, look, you know, what we're going to call is the Moreland easement. No one's giving me a survey. No one's provided me additional information. So just so everybody understands, it's the Moreland easement.
Would you agree, Mr. Westner, though, that there has been no survey of the actual easement / Moreland Road,
right?
And if one was done, it would be it would weave off to the west, as I recall, of the township of that section line, which the court made findings. So the point being is, would it make some sense to your client at some point? Would it be in his interest to have, now that he's at least at this stage, and if we affirm, to get a survey done so that the easement is defined legally as well as by the name the Moreland Road?
I think it may, but I think, ultimately for today's purpose, it's more about was his access blocked? But I agree. I think that would make some sense if they could actually say, okay, we know it's the Moreland Road. Let's figure out unequivocally where that road is. I do think that would make some sense.
One question on the contempt.
Sure.
I see the judge continued the initial hearing to allow, I assume, resolution, and maybe I missed it. Did he remove those cements on the pallets between the first hearing and the second hearing? And if indeed that's the case, has he not already remedied in a civil contempt status that resolves contempt?
Well, I think he would have resolved it if he had simply removed the blocks. I think what ultimately got him in trouble was when he started bringing trees across the access point. I believe it was Mr. Giesler testified at the hearing that when he tried to access the property between that first hearing in July and that second hearing that, yeah, the blocks have been removed, but now I've got trees in the way. You know, I still can't get to Mr. Bueller's property to hunt and do the things that I want to do. It's still being blocked. Trees have been clear cut, they've been dragged. It looked pretty evident what was going on. And I don't want to step into Judge Williamson's shoes, but I would assume that her thought process was, okay, yeah, you removed the blocks, but you still pulled some trees in, so you're still sort of thumbing your nose at the district court. I think another distinction is for the contempt, she stayed ultimately the jail sentence. And I think that's a key point. Because the order now is very much, I'm not truly punishing you just yet. I'm not gonna make you spend time in jail. I'm gonna tell you, keep the access point clear. Do what needs to be done to make sure that Mr. Bueller and his friends can get to the property. And if you don't, you're gonna sit. And I think that's why the order should be affirmed. It's that nuance where it's, I want to make sure you guys get along. I want to make sure my orders are being followed. I'm going to kind of hang this jail time over your head, but I'm not going to hit you with it just yet. And so that's why I think the contempt ultimately survives. It should be affirmed.
Thank you.
Yeah. Any additional questions? Like I said, I don't.
Does the contempt order have an end date, or does this go on forever?
I believe it's a stayed indefinite jail sentence. Otherwise, I think it just says simply, it ultimately states that plaintiff, which would be appellant Mr. Anderson, shall not interfere with defendant's reasonable use and enjoyment of the Moreland easement. So in other words, it more or less just reiterates the trial court, the trial order from January of 2017, just saying, look, these guys have access. That issue was never appealed. Findings were never amended. That's the law of the case. I'm going to sort of hold this jail sentence over your head just to make sure that you continue to follow the order, just to make sure these guys can get out to the property. And so I think that's a critical aspect. I think if the judge had said, all right, Mr. Anderson, I'm going to make you sit in jail for 10 days, I think that would have been problematic, because I think at that point she would have had to say, I'm going to give you, 10 days unless you do X, Y, or Z, bring him back for a second hearing and see if he'd actually complied. So I think that, to me, that's the nuance that matters in terms of whether or not the contempt survives the appeal. But I think ultimately, based on the way the judge issued the order, I think it should be affirmed. I don't see an abuse of discretion here. So ultimately, I think, like I said, the court, I think you touched on most of my arguments. I'm not going to reiterate myself, but I don't think the judge changed any easements. I don't think she moved any easements. I think she clarified for these folks what we're talking about when we're talking about the access point is the Moreland Road. We're going to call it the Moreland easement just so everybody understands what we're talking about. I think she found after a contested full and fair hearing that Mr. Anderson had, in fact, willfully disobeyed with her order and issued an appropriate contempt order as a result of that hearing. So I believe that the court has not abused discretion and that the order should be affirmed.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Westner. We'll now hear from Mr. Buller. You'll have the last word, sir.
Thank you, Your Honor. I'll start with the contempt aspect of this, since that's kind of where we left off.
Thank you.
With the respondent's argument. There were essentially three actions that the court sought to condemn. One was the concrete blocks, one was a large snowbank, the other one was the downed trees. the concrete blocks, which were placed on where they were placed because at the time they were delivered, it was springtime, things were thawing, that's where the ground was hard. They were moved afterwards. It wasn't any sort of intentional violation of the court's order. The second, the snowbank was plowed far before I think the contempt motion was even brought. And the third, the downed trees, there's, if you understand the property, it's a very wooded area. At the evidentiary hearing held on the contempt motion, there was strong testimony from appellant against the finding that he cut these trees down. There was testimony by the respondents that trees blow down on the Moreland Road all the time, I think. There was a big dispute about that. I realized that those different sides get weighed by the judge, and this is how she did it. But I do want to just provide some background on those items.
And on that point, Mr. Butler, in terms of the contempt order, even if this court was to agree with your client and reverse, would it be true that would not change a contempt order? Because until we do that, that's a valid order, which the court found that your client had notice granting the easement. And we've already established everybody knows it's the Moreland Road. So what we saw in the pictures and in the record, would that be a correct legal assumption?
I don't believe so in this case, Your Honor, because this is a little bit of a different case, I think, from most contempt orders where it's pretty clear what you are and aren't supposed to do. Because here again, and this gets back to the original argument about where this easement is that he's supposed to keep unobstructed. It's, as I talked about in my opening, and I won't rehash all that again, I don't think we need to, but it wasn't on the land that was obstructed by various items. But again, I don't think it's necessary to get back into that at this point. Unless there's any other questions, I believe.
No, thank you very much. Thank you very much, Counsel. No. You know, sir, you're really not allowed to. That's why you've hired Mr. Bowler, who's doing a very good job on your part. You really can't. And we don't want to have another contempte issue. So with that, the matter is submitted. We appreciate the thoughtful argument of Mr. Bowler and Mr. Westner. We will consider very, very carefully recognizing the seriousness of this matter to all parties. You will have our decision in 90 days. We are adjourned. Thank you.
All right.